Find our comfort and our strength in you, and that you will complete that which you've started in us. Help us, Lord, to willingly follow you until you finish with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's good to have you here. We are starting a new series on the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and we just led to really focus for a couple of weeks on the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is and what God has blessed us with the Holy Spirit. And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to explore more of the Holy Spirit and really the fulfillment of the prophecy that one day God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh, and the privilege we have to be in that generation where we see and experience the fulfillment of that. And so this morning, I'm going to start with an introduction of the Holy Spirit. And there's just so much to be said. But this morning, one aspect I want to look at as an introduction is the person of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is part of the mystery of the Trinity. And the very concept of the Trinity is a mystery and hard to understand. Three persons in one. One God, yet three individual persons living and existing as one. Hard for us to understand and to grasp, but it is also central to Christianity. And so we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Part of the Godhead. Equally God, equally a person, and equally real. And it's so amazing when you read the Bible, especially in Greek, whenever it refers to the Holy Spirit, the pronoun that is used to describe the Holy Spirit is He, not it. And therefore, the Greek makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit is not a power, but a person. And throughout the ages, we see the revelation that the Holy Spirit is equally God as Jesus is equally God. And the Father is equally God. And it's part of that mystery, an aspect of the mystery. And one of the difficult things for us to grasp about the Trinity and the reality of it is that if you have one of the three, you have them all. If you have the Son, you have the Father. And if you have the Spirit, you have the Son and the Father. And so if you have the one, you have the other. It is a mystery for us and hard to understand. In John 14, verse 7, Jesus speaks. He says, "If you had known me, you would have also known my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Jesus says, if you've known me, you've known my Father. And if you've seen me, you have seen my Father. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on the accounts of the works themselves. And you know, sometimes as Christians, it's easier for us to relate to Jesus and the Father than it is to relate to the Holy Spirit. But, in a certain sense, the Holy Spirit is now, at this present time, closer to us than Jesus is. It is a mystery. It is a truth hard to understand from our perspective. But Jesus came to the earth through the incarnation. Born from a virgin, lived on the earth, was crucified and died, and was raised to life and ascended to heaven, and now is where? at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and we are waiting for His return. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. We are waiting for the return of Jesus. And practically, physically, in a mysterious way, Jesus is more in heaven than He is here. We are waiting for Him to come back. As Christians, those who've been born again through faith in Christ, we've become a new creation. And who is now living in us? It is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that now lives in us as we wait for Christ to return. But if you have the one, you have the other in a very mysterious way. But this is a mystery. But in a real practical, physical sense, the Holy Spirit is more close to us right now than Jesus and the Father is. And one day, Jesus will return and we will go with Him to where the Father is. But for now, the Holy Spirit is the one that is within us. As 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Jesus is in heaven and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. But in the same mysterious way, if you have the Spirit of God, you have the Son of God. And if you have the Son, you have the Father. It's a mystery. It is a mystery and we do not fully understand it. But the point that I want to make is that the Holy Spirit is not a force, but a person, and is currently, practically, closer physically to us and in us than Jesus. And one day Jesus will return, and until then we have the Holy Spirit with us. As Jesus promised and said in John 14 verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth who the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and He will be in you." And so powerfully we see that that happened at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out so powerfully on all flesh. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon individuals. But in the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit came upon all who believed in Christ Jesus. And so in John 16, it continues to say, Jesus speaking, "But now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." Because I'm telling you that I'm going away, and you are sorrowful to hear that I'm going away. But hear Jesus' words. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." So as much as we can have a relationship with Jesus and the Father, we can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And this is the amazing reality of the Holy Spirit. He's not distant, and He does not just come when we are together. He's actually in you and me the whole time. He is a person in us. As a person, we can also grieve the Holy Spirit. We can resist the Holy Spirit. Or we can follow the Holy Spirit. You know, Ephesians 4 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." And Acts 7, we read, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, and so do you." And so the Holy Spirit is as much a person with a personality and the reality of emotion. Just like the Father and the Son, so the Holy Spirit. Just you can resist the Son, you can resist the Holy Spirit. And just like you can grieve God, you can grieve the Holy Spirit who is with us. You know, sometimes as charismatics, we can relate to the Holy Spirit more as a power than an experience than as a person. The Holy Spirit is not limited to an event on a Sunday, and its greatest purpose is not found in corporate worship when He manifests. As amazing as it is when the Holy Spirit fills a place and manifests through various ways, that is not the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit. Not to be at an event at a specific place, but to be with us always. Every day, every moment. Jesus said, "It is to your advantage that I go away." I mean, how is that possible? I always mention this. Putting myself in the shoes of Peter and Andrew and John and Philip, hearing Jesus, who are with them physically, saying, "It is to your advantage that I go away." I mean, how is this possible? You see, Jesus' presence, His presence, was limited to a physical location, a physical place and time. If you wanted to be in the presence of God, you had to be where Jesus was. Because He was God incarnate. He was God on earth. And so God's presence was limited to where Jesus was physically. But through the Holy Spirit, He will be with you always. Everywhere. With everyone who believes. We no longer need to go to Jerusalem. To a temple. To be where God is. We have become the temple of God. And He now lives in us. All the time. So it doesn't matter where you are never alone. And we don't even need to come together at a place to experience Him. You can be alone on the beach and be in His presence. You can be alone at home and experience the manifestation of God. Everything that we can have corporately, you can have individually. Because God is no longer limited to a physical place and time. Because He now lives in you and me. Always present with us. And so we are never alone. Also, part of the significance of the Spirit of God in us is that it defines who we are and to whom we belong. And something so significant about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is when Jesus came into the world as the Son of God, and John the Baptist was appointed to prepare the way and identify the Messiah, the sign for John, who was the Son of God, capital letter, was simply this: the one whom you see the Spirit descend and remain on Him, this is my Son. And so we read here John's own testimony, and John bore witness saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon Him. I did not know Him, but He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remain on Him, it is He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God, because I saw the Spirit come down from heaven and remain on Him. He is the one. This is what defines Him. This is who He is." You know what is so powerful today? That same Spirit now lives in you and in you. And in you, it defines that you are a child of God. You are a son and daughter of God because the Spirit of God lives in you. And when heaven, when the angels look upon humanity, there's a clear distinction. There's a clear distinction in humanity today from heaven's perspective. When the angels look on the earth, there is a clear distinction. Guilty and forgiven. Dead and alive. Without the Spirit and with the Spirit. It defines who we are. It defines who we belong to. Because those who have the Spirit of God are forgiven. They are alive and they belong to God. They are children of God. That is what defines us from the rest of humanity. We have the Spirit of God within us. Ephesians 1 says it this way, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until the acquired possession of it, to the praise of His glory. There is a distinction in this world. And it is the Spirit of God that lives within us. He is the seal and the guarantee of our salvation. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? It is a response to the gospel, as we just read there. In Him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed in Him. You cannot have the Holy Spirit if you do not believe in Christ. If you do not accept Him as Lord and Savior, you cannot have the Spirit of God. You may know about Jesus, but until you accept Him as Lord and Savior, you will not be sealed with the Spirit. But whosoever believes and accepts Him as Lord and Savior will receive the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, at the moment of salvation, the moment you bow your knee, the moment you make the confession that, God, I am a sinner, I need a Savior, I thank You for coming to save me, and I want to accept You as my Lord and Savior. At that moment, you are born again. Another mystery. You become a new creation. You are separated from the rest of humanity who are in Adam. You are now in Christ. And that whole process is done by the power of the Holy Spirit that comes in you, that makes you a new creation, a child of God. And so every believer, it doesn't matter in which denomination you are, from Roman Catholic to all the way through our church, if you believe and accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior, you are born again. So you get born again believers in every denomination. The denominations might be deceived and going astray in their doctrine, but those who truly believe, there's a remnant of believers in every church. Those who truly believe and follow Jesus for who He is. And they are saved, redeemed, and filled with the Spirit. And they have received the guarantee and the seal of their salvation. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? It is a response to the gospel. In Acts 2, we see it so clearly. When Peter preached that first sermon of the New Testament, and when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And then Peter's response is, "Repent, be baptized, and you will receive the promise of the Holy Spirit." The gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. So we are born again through the power of the Holy Spirit, a seal, a mark, spiritual and internal. And here we see the work of the Holy Spirit as a person in us. Another aspect of the mystery of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes in us, He starts to change us. Because we are now a new creation. And so we see the internal work of the Holy Spirit and an outward, inward and an outward work of the Holy Spirit. We see a inward character change that takes place and an outward manifestation of the Spirit. And we see the difference of the inward work in us through the fruit of the Spirit and the outward work of the Holy Spirit, which is the gifts of the Spirit. There are two different things that the Holy Spirit does in us. The inward work of the Holy Spirit is evident through the fruit of the Spirit. It is a radical change that takes place when a sinner gets saved. And I had the privilege to have seen the worst sinners. Well, they are probably worse than what I encountered, but I was privileged to get to know the Staggy brothers. If you live long enough and you come from that area, Cape Town, Cape Flats, they, Rashid Staggy and those guys, the Staggy brothers, and Solly, they were the notorious gang leaders of the Cape Flats. And they both got saved. And you can see how a murderer changed to become a saint. I mean, I remember walking with Solly through the townships, and people, it's like going through the Red Sea. But now Solly is saved. But they still know who he is. So the sea departs. And he must become such a gentle, loving man. There's a radical change that happens, and it manifests through the fruit of the Spirit. We read of in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Something happened in Solly. He was a changed man. He was a changed man. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit, because the Spirit in me wants to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I can either resist the Holy Spirit, or I can follow the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to teach me to be faithful, to be gentle. And so it is also a yielding from our side to the Holy Spirit, so that He can change us. So don't resist Him when He convicts you of your anger. But rather submit to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Instead of trying to justify why, say, Lord, help me in my anger not to sin. Help me to control. Because that is what He will lead you to. He will tell you, no, don't speak like that to your wife. No, forgive. And so it is a relationship with Him. And as we yield to Him, He starts to produce this more and more in us as we continue to follow Him. The evidence of the regenerational work of the Holy Spirit in us is not only our confession that Jesus is Lord, it is also the fruit of the Spirit and our keeping in step with the Spirit. That's why the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, says you will know them by their fruit. It's simple. So follow Him and the fruit will manifest more and more in your life as you continue to follow Him. And others will see, you must be a Christian. You don't swear. You used to swear and now you don't swear. Yeah, I play hockey in the club. So it's clear to see who are the believers and who are not. In how they talk, every sentence, there is a particular kind of language. And there's a particular kind of way you respond to the referee. And there's a particular way you respond when you are not happy.
You even hear it in the crowd.
So we are called to be changed, to be different. A radical change takes place inwardly. And we're not even speaking about the gifts now, which is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, which is something that is added to the inward change, is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to make me a more effective witness, where the gifts is the prophecy, the healing, the miracles, the speaking in tongues, is all outward manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And that's another sermon for another week. But the fruit are inward. They increase as we grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We are aware of Him, sensitive to Him, and follow Him. We grow in our relationship with Him through listening to Him, speaking to Him, and following Him. The Holy Spirit is that still small voice that is like your conscience, but speaks to you as you live your life. If you are sensitive to Him, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will speak to you every time you sin. He will highlight the fact that what you have done is not His will. And His conviction will lead you to repentance. Pastor Vanner shared the difference between condemnation and conviction. But it will lead you to repentance. And because the Holy Spirit is given as our mentor, we can ask Him, Lord, help me not to lie again. Help me not to swear again. Help me. Teach me. One of the ways I, as a young Christian, learned to hear the voice of God was not in asking, should I go to Lesotho or to Africa? Because there was a time in my life that I was desperate to hear the voice of God. What is His will for my life? Where does He want me to be? What should I do in response to what I believed He called me to? And I was seeking His face desperately. But it was silent. And then I started asking Him, but help me to control my tongue. And then every day I heard His voice. I heard His voice every day as I was speaking. He said, no, that was too much. No, that sarcasm was just a bit too far. And every day I said, help me, Lord. Help me to control my tongue. And I read in Your Word, it says, even the fool is thought silent and discerning. Or even the fool is thought wise when he is silent and discerning if he holds his tongue. I said, Lord, I speak so much. Help me to speak less. Now my wife says I'm speaking a lot again. But I started to ask Him to teach me. And by asking Him to change me, I started to learn to hear His voice and to discern His voice. Because this is a personal relationship. The Holy Spirit is here to mentor us. But let me not get ahead of myself. But He's here to mentor us, to disciple us, to become more like Jesus. That is the Holy Spirit's primary purpose. Is to mentor us to become more like Jesus and to empower us to change. That is His primary purpose. And then also to empower us to be effective witnesses as we are being changed into His likeness. So we grow in Him by listening to Him and speaking to Him, that still small voice that sounds like your conscience, but is more than that, because your conscience only tells you what is right and wrong, but He tells you what to do and not to do. He's also the one that brings revelation when we read the Word. When we read the Bible and the Logos, the written Word, becomes Rhema, becomes revelation. When we read what we've been reading for so often, and all of a sudden it jumps at us, it becomes alive, and we gain understanding in it. He's the one that makes the Word alive in us. And we grow in our relationship with Him when we are obedient to Him, when we listen to Him. 2 Corinthians 3 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when we read the word, we are seeing a picture of who Jesus is, and as in a mirror, a reflection of who we are in relation to who Jesus is. And the Spirit of God helps us to become more like Jesus. He's the one that mentors us. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see Jesus. And He points us to Him every day. Look at Jesus. This is who He is. This is what He stands for. This is how He loves. This is how He forgives. This is how He deals with persecution and false accusation and betrayal. Look at Him. Follow Him. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. And through our relationship with Him, we are changed to become more like Christ. He is our helper, our mentor, and our comforter. He disciples us in making the Word real, from the Logos to the Rhema, and show us how to apply the Word here and now in our own lives. He gives us wisdom and understanding. And He speaks to us. He encourages us to turn to God and to trust God. In our weakness, He helps us. In our time of brokenness, He comforts and restores. He manifests in closeness, experience, joy, and peace. And most of all, He loves us. The Holy Spirit loves you. He loves you. And He is so close. He knows. He's in you. He feels. He sees. He sees all things. He hears everything that is said. And He feels. But most of all, He loves. He loves you. He loves me. And therefore, we grow in the closeness of Him, in those moments of being alone with Him. Just being silent and waiting on Him to comfort, to restore, to lead, to guide, just to be. It is awesome to manifest God in a corporate worship. But I cannot survive only on Sundays. I need Him more during the week. I need Him often. And that is the amazing thing that we have with the Holy Spirit. He is with us always. So let us start this journey together for the next couple of weeks, asking God for more of the Holy Spirit. A greater reality and presence of the Holy Spirit in us, as individuals, but also in us as a church, when we come together. Will you trust with us for more of the Holy Spirit? Individually and corporately. As we journey together and reflect on who He is and what He has given. A deeper relationship with Him. And for this week, practically, will you take time every day for this next week and just be silent? Just be silent with Him. Just start your quiet time. Just waiting on Him. One of the most powerful experiences is just being silent before the Lord. And speaking in tongues and waiting until you experience His presence. And then start to speak with your understanding. Just wait for Him. Just wait for the Holy Spirit to speak, to experience. And then with our understanding, communicate to Him. Or to open the word and say, Lord, I'm just going to be silent. I want you to speak to me. Reveal more of yourself. Read a portion. Until something stands out for you. And take that back to Him and say, Holy Spirit, help me to understand. Help me to live. How amazing this is. And just to meditate on that, what has become alive to you. And be still and wait to hear what He says to you about it. And responding to Him in worship over it. Make the Holy Spirit part of your life as we commune with God through Him. Ask Him to manifest, to speak, to lead. And if you struggle to hear His voice, ask Him to show you one thing in your life that you need to change. One area in your life that you need to submit to Him to become more like Jesus. Just take one thing. For the whole week, Lord, help me with my anger. Or help me with my tongue. Or whatever it may be. Just take that one thing. Whatever the Holy Spirit, if you close your eyes right now and you ask God, let's do that. Just close your eyes. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Just ask the Lord, show me one thing in my life that needs to become more like Jesus. Just in your own words, just ask Him and listen. Who of you heard something? Put up your hand. Okay. Keep on doing that. Ask Him. Now, that one thing this week, just ask the Lord to help you every day. Every morning you ask, Lord, help me with this one thing today. And hear how much He speaks to you. Listen. You'll be amazed how He helps you with this one thing as you continue your life. So let's continue to do that. For this week, wait for Him, listen for Him, and speak to Him. And let's ask Him for more. More of Him in us and in our church. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning. Holy Spirit, that we can come to You, knowing that You are here with us, in us. Lord, that You are here with us. And Father, You are also present. Through the Spirit and the Son, the mystery of God with us, in us. As we long for Your return, Jesus, and to be with You, Father, we thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are here right now. And that You love us. You have sealed us. You are our guarantee, our down payment, our engagement ring to what is waiting for us. Help us to be sensitive to You, Holy Spirit. We ask for more of You. We ask for more of You. More of You in our lives, in our church. And more of You through us and through our church. Lord, we want to become the children of God that You desire us to be. Light on lampstands. A city on a hill. As individuals on lampstands and together a city. Lord, we want to reflect You in this world. We ask, Holy Spirit, come and manifest. Manifest Your fruit, Your gifts. We ask You, we welcome You, we desire more of You. So come in us, Lord. Show us more. Give us more. And lead us more. We thank You that we can ask You this. In Jesus' name. Amen. On Tuesday mornings, we are going to start another slot for intercession, where we specifically are going to pray just this. We're just going to ask God for more of Him in us, in our church, in our community. Going to have it Tuesday mornings between 6 and 7. Then there's also intercession between 9 and 10 on Thursdays. But we realize we can't accommodate everybody in that slot. So we're starting also one at our home for now at Hermanus Heights, 7 Franklin Close. We'll put up a pin on the WhatsApp group. If you're not on the WhatsApp group, please join the WhatsApp group. We'll put a pin there. And Tuesday mornings from 6 to 7, we'll be praying at our house for now, since it's winter. And that's what we're going to trust the Lord for. So please join us. Otherwise, join us on Thursdays. And may God bless you as you continue to seek Him. Amen.